Hello, everyone. I'm Eric D'Souza, and you're joining me today for Crime Writers of Canada's podcast. We've got a special episode today because we're going to be celebrating the awards. For me, this is a fun but very busy time of the year for both myself and my guest, Ludvika Buta, who is the program director, unofficial treasurer right now, and the awards manager, and she's been doing it for since 2017. So we're both super busy, but we wanted to celebrate today. So welcome, Ludvika. How are you today?
Good, Eric. Thank you for having me.
So it's official now, so we can talk about it. We've known this information for a while, but the shortlist is out. We've been having to keep our mouths shut for so long. It's so difficult. Congratulations to everyone who's on the shortlist. And if you're listening to this, you can see on Crime Writers of Canada's website all the shortlist nominees. So congrats to everybody.
Yes, congratulations, everyone.
Well, let's start at the top because, again, piece of information that you and I have been sitting on for months now is the Grandmaster Award. Would you like to say, I'll let you have the thunder.
Well, well, thank you, Eric. This year's Grandmaster is someone who is extremely well known, who has an amazing series, several actually at this point. I think she's got another one coming out. She is, well, you've guessed it's a she. She has a very successful television show as well, known as the Murdoch Mysteries. Our Grandmaster for 2024 is none other than Maureen Jennings. I feel like there should be a round of claps.
There should be. It's a clap of two right now. You and I have been having to keep the secret for so long because, you know, we're on the board. We're non-voting members, but we're part of the conversations. And when Maureen Jennings' name came up, I think you and I both were thinking, and I'm sure other people were thinking, like, how is she not wanted already? It's well overdue. Her new series, I love the Paradise Mystery, the Paradise Cafe Mystery Series with Charlotte Frayne. Fantastic. Those of you who are like, we want more Murdoch, his son is in this series, but Jack's not the primary character. But it's good to see the Murdoch line still going, but seeing Toronto in a newer picture in the 1950s, I think, at this point. And I very much enjoy this series. And I can't count how many books she's written, but it must be in the 30s by now because she's written more than Murdoch Mysteries that we all know them for. She's written so many good historical Canadian stories that she's a national treasure. So I'm so glad that we're finally honoring her.
I am too. So the Grandmaster Award itself goes to an author who is it's a homegrown author who has been successful not only in Canada, but international as well, and who's brought a lot of attention, positive attention to the genre as a whole. Maureen embodies all of that. And when we were having the discussions, because the process in which we choose a Grandmaster, it starts off at the awards committee and with the awards chair. So we have the discussions there. And that was one of the exact same shock that you were explaining just 2 seconds ago. Why hasn't Maureen gotten the Grandmaster Award? And we sort of tossed that around. And then we were kind of thinking she must have. So we're combing and combing through the records. And then we realized, no, she for some reason hasn't had been given that awarded that title at this point. And so we are more than happy, delighted, and extremely excited to be announcing her finally as a Grandmaster.
And then talking about the awards in general, we are so happy for some of these names. We're not going to read them all, but anybody's sort of like, again, we're not picking favorites by any means, but we work with these people. I get to interview these people. For me, I spoke last year to Craig Bowlsby, yes. And he won the Short Story Award, and I was very happy for him. He's also a BC author, and I secretly root for BC authors because I share drinks with them. And so I see that he's been nominated for Best Unpublished. So I'm just so happy for him. Any, again, not picking favorites, but any people that you're happy to see on the list?
Well, I will also make the disclaimer of I'm not picking any favorites. I want to make it clear I do not read any of the entries when they come in, unless I have accidentally read it ahead of time, but I try to stay clear just to remain impartial. However, Craig Bowlesby is someone who I've seen who has submitted in the past to the unpublished. So for me to see him on the list is truly exciting. It is quite an accomplishment. I know that every single time for every category, we get a number of entries and they are all absolutely fantastic. And the level of skill that's required in order to meet the standards is quite high. And you're to be on the list, I think in general, is a heck of a feat. And I'm extremely proud when I especially see people that I have seen in the past enter and have not been on the list. So I know that Mary Keenan is somebody who has won the unpublished in the past. She is now on the short story finalist list. So that I thought was really exciting. I also, Renee, you're going to have to help me with the last name.
Renee Lennon.
Lennon it is. She won the unpublished, two years ago.
Yeah.
And it's very exciting to see her on the Howard Engel list. So I think that is absolutely fantastic. Vicky Delaney, always, I actually do read some of her cozies. And I absolutely am not surprised. She is nominated twice in the same category. I've seen her before in separate categories, so I'm not surprised that she's on the list. But this time it's 2-1, and that's exciting. I'm trying to think. There is I could go through this whole list, and I probably have a story for every person on the list.
Well, it's true. Like,
it would be like 40 minutes.
True. But more shout outs. Marcel Dubé, you and I both worked with, and nicest person. Donnelly Moulton's currently on the board, and we've worked with her. Yeah. Both of them have been nominated also for Derringers. So they're going to be competing against each other twice. So good luck to both of them.
Robin Harding, past chair, fantastic. I've met her once. She's very nice. Lorethan White is one of my favorites as well. I was saying I don't have favorites, right?
We can't help it. We're humans. And again, let's talk about the process. Let's talk about the process, because regardless of how you and I work in Crime Writers of Canada, we're not really part of the judging at all. I mean, you work with the judges, but you don't influence the judges in any way. So let's talk process, just so we can say, kind of like on the Grammys and the awards, this is how it's done, and this is how we keep it clean.
Yes. Transparency, transparency, transparency. So the judging process usually begins about August-ish. And that's when we do a call out for judges. We have a selection committee that we put together that incumbents people from, and by people, I mean CWC members, both associate or published authors, across Canada, across the country. And we try to make sure that we strategically pick region wise and people in different aspects of their career, because we want to make sure that we tap into their networks and the networks within their region to get some applications for judges. So we have a selection committee basically that we put together in about August. They go out, they hit all their networks. We also advertise. We are looking for judges they can be booksellers. They can be part of book clubs. They have to have a love for crime and mystery, obviously nonfiction or fiction, because we do have a nonfiction category. We want people from all walks of life, different ages, different backgrounds. We feel that each judging panel consists of three judges. And so we want to make sure that they are diverse as possible. In keeping with that, by about September, we get all the applications, and then we have the selection committee look at all the applications. And part of the application process also is identifying which judges, which categories judges want to judge, or have the experience to judge. Because someone who may be a journalist who is completely perfect for crime and mystery, we might not want to put them towards cozies, if that's something they do not want to do, or have someone judge in French when they do not know the language, because we do have a French language category. So The selection committee, their job essentially is to put together a 3-panel jury. So the only category that is completely anonymous and judged anonymously is the unpublished category. The unpublished is basically we pick 3 judges who do not know each other, who do not know the participants who are submitting, and have... They work solely independently. They do have a judge's guide and a scorecard as well that they use. And they score all the entries. And I'm the one who gets all the scores and will tally up the scores and to determine the published. As for the other judges in the other 9 categories, they basically, once the panels are put together, they... Aside from me giving them their initial instructions about how the timelines work and, you know, what to look for, they have a judge's guideline as well that we give them. They work independently, completely without my direct, without my butting in, shall we say. So they all make their own decisions and they work together, the 3 of them, and they come back with the short list as well as the winner and a small blurb at the end. About why they chose the winner. So that's essentially how it works.
So when we say our favorites, we did not affect, you and I did not affect the winners at all. You know, another thing that stood out for me too is the best novel, best crime novel, typically is standalone thrillers. It has been for years now, but 2 series books made it onto the list. So I thought that, oh, that's a kind of a change. And again, I guess it goes to the fact that different judges are always judging different categories, right?
So the thing that I'd love to point out on that is that we change the judges every year. No judge judges the same category 2 years in a row. We try to make it like that unless something has happened catastrophically or something, but we like to keep it fresh. So what one judge will like, exactly as you mentioned, what a certain panel will like 1 year, this panel next year might think completely differently and put different books on. I've seen in the past, 6 years I've been doing this, I have seen both, like you said, there's been series, independent. I've seen big books from big publishers win. I have seen small publishers win that award. So it's kind of interesting to see the range. You never know. And that's the exciting part about it is you're not pigeonholed. You just never know what the panel is going to like, what's going this year, and what's going to be placed on that list. So it makes it exciting, I suppose.
I think another exciting thing is often the category for best first novel. I always like to point out that Louise Penny was one of the recipients of this. So it's kind of can show what this winning this award can do. Obviously, we're not promising you're going to have Louise Penny's career, but it's great to see some of the names on that list and follow their careers. And you must do it more than I have. Like
Louise Penny was instrumental in starting the unpublished. And I think a part of it was this. I remember when she became our grandmaster, I think 2 years ago.
Yes.
I want to say that.
You're right.
It's true. She said how much it meant to her to be on to final and how much it means to have awards like these, especially for aspiring authors, to be able to win and to have that opportunity to get that exposure. So I forget your question as I was blabbering about she's an incredible lady. It's hard enough to she's very like Maureen, she is very humble and very sweet. So I had a really good time interacting with her.
Yeah, myself too. It's surprising almost how nice they are. I was saying the effect that winning best first novel can have on an author. I'm so happy to see Charlotte Morganti there. Again, not picking favorites, just we've chatted before. And I know when the novel came out, I enjoyed Endgame and I'm like, ooh, good for her. But then we see names like Jan Arden. Maybe Jan needs a boost.
I know. I was surprised to see Jan Arden on there just because I didn't know that she was that she wrote in this genre. I really didn't. Charlotte, though, I'm very excited to see her as well, just because I've worked with her in the past and I know that she has submitted on numerous. I think last year, or the year before, it was short stories.
Short stories last year.
Yeah. Short stories. That's what it was. So I'm always excited to see the individuals that make it on this list. And one name that stands out for me AJ Devlin. The first year I was part of the gala was the first year. So we used to have a gala. This is all pre-COVID, obviously.
Yes.
So back in 2019, when we had in-person galas, I believe AJ Devlin won that year for Cobra Clutch in the best first. And the exciting thing to watching him win that was he made it on the list last year, I believe, was it for his series. He was in the Howard Engel Award, was it?
You're right. Yep. So and that was his third book.
And that's kind of exciting because you see them continue to sort of make these. And I know he's finaled in other award category, in other awards. In addition to that, like his writing career has continued. So it is very exciting to see people get on Best First because it does propel you. It does give you that confidence. And you continue to move through your career, right? So I'm very excited to see some of the names on those lists and watch.
Yeah. Them. Yeah. Another one for me, is David Rabinovich. I talked to him early on when he just written the book and it hasn't even been published yet. So to see it on this list, I'm very excited for him too. Again, I'm excited for everyone, but some of these people I have drinks with.
I think that's what it comes down to, right? I think the fun part about for me is the fun part for me about the awards, I think, is that you get the opportunity to liaise with a lot of different authors from all different times in their career. Or so some people are starting out, some people are aspiring, some people are well into their career, and it always surprises me how the community, like the crime mystery community at large, is extremely welcoming, very nice, very humble. Most people are very excited and they always want to support and encourage things like the awards and to help each other out, so that it propels the genre as a whole. I also enjoy, you know, the one thing I enjoy looking at is also the publishers. They play a very important role into this, whether they're big or small. You know, they are part of the awards in the sense that I've dealt with quite a few of the editors that, you know, when I see their books on there, I get excited for them as well. Even if I don't know the author, I haven't read, I'm like, okay, you know, because I get to email them and say, you know what, your author's book made it. How exciting. So it's good to, you know, they also help in promoting the genre as a whole. And I think that's something we can all agree is a good thing.
Yes, definitely. You wanted to bring up another subject and you, I don't know, let's keep it clean, but let's talk about submissions because you've told me some stories about what people submit and the questions that you get. So let's talk about that process and maybe we'll answer some questions like as FYIs.
Perfect. First of all, I have to thank you, Eric, because you are keeping me on track. I would totally forget everything as I talk. You know, for the most part, we appreciate every submission we get. But there are moments where the one thing I would just highly suggest to everybody who is looking to submit for any competition, read the instructions. Really read. There's a reason why at the end of the application, there is a check mark where it says, I have read and understood the submission rules and guidelines. We often get questions that are easily found in those submission rules and guidelines. It's not that I'm not opposed to people emailing me, asking me questions or, you know, wondering about certain things. That happens. But please understand the volume. Especially at the beginning in September that you receive, it's hard to get back to everybody. This is something that I do. This is part of my role here, but is not a full-time thing that I do. So trying to get back to everybody within a certain given amount of time can be quite difficult. So I would highly suggest anybody who is submitting, read the directions clearly. And make sure you understand them before you submit, because also making changes 2 months later tends to be quite difficult. So if you are not sure about what category you're submitting to, and that's the big one I usually get, in that particular case, ask before you submit. Because once you've submitted to a category, it is much more difficult for me to switch you from one to the other, and it increases the amount of confusion. So that's one of the things I would definitely look at. Read the directions carefully, know what category you belong to, ensure that you're comfortable with that category as well. And if you're not entirely, then do ask. However, do not ask me to place your book in a category, because that is not something I can do, even if I wanted to. I haven't read your book. I don't know what you wrote. I can't read the back of your book and make a decision that you belong in the Howard Engel Award. I don't know if 60% of, you know, of the book is located within Canada. I don't know what the setting you've chosen. So you need to make those decisions ahead of time. Know your book, know your category, read the directions carefully. And those would be my top three suggestions.
This year we did some changes in the awards. So more for the judges. They had to do a big shift. And I think it had to be done. So let's thank the judges. Could you tell me how it went?
First of all, I want to thank each and every judge. We, at this point, aren't naming them until after the complete awards. But we do want to thank them for their time. It's all volunteer time, by the way, all of it. I couldn't even tell you the amount of time it takes. We have about, each category roughly has about, anywhere between 20 to 30 books in it, just depending. And I think that the judges' time, just depending on how fast they read, it's a lot of work for those books, right? And to make a fair assessment. So thank every single one of you for that volunteer time. It's much appreciated. We couldn't have the awards without judges. They are the backbone of this particular competition. And this year we wanted to... So this is a give and take. We went towards PDF books only. So all entries, which I think kind of worked out for independents, because I find that independent individuals or who publish independently, it's easier for them in the sense that you don't have to pay that. We want three copies of the physical book. That was the original thing that we did last year and for the last however 20 years we've been doing this. And then you had to mail it. And frankly, that cost can be astronomical. And then I have to mail it out to all the judges. And that can be, those costs were astronomical. So we moved towards a PDF system where you send me a PDF, I can forward that to the judges. It was a lot easier. I think this year it ran pretty smoothly. I think that overall, it's easier to, let's just say my living room is happy this year. Because the amount, I think I had over 500 books come through last year at the end of the competition, I calculated, because it's three books per entry. You're looking at 200 and some entries, almost 300 entries last year, I think. Paper, books, whatever, flying through here. I think my mailman was tired of me. He was delivering them to my house. Like, it was just, it's clean, it's simple, it's easy, it's PDF. You do it all on the computer. And I think the judges, for the most part, some individuals don't like reading online, and that's fine. And we understand. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we're sticking with the PDF. It's the judges this year seem to enjoy it. They're able to go. Some people take vacation during January, February, and they were able to just take their, you know, iPad and read while they were on the beach. So they were fine with that. So I think that that's one thing to note. If you do want to be a judge, and we encourage everybody to apply, if you love this genre, if you enjoy reading rather fiction or nonfiction, consider applying, because you can read an array of amazing books. They come on PDF. It's very simple. You get to also network with two other like-minded individuals. You get to talk books. It's like a private book club. And then your voice is heard as well, because you get to choose one, right? Yeah, I think the judges really enjoyed it this year from what I know so far.
I have to agree with you, Davika. I love the crime fiction that's coming out of Canada recently. And I, unlike you, do read a lot of these books. I get the privilege of interviewing a lot of these authors. And I could honestly say I predicted 3 out of the 5 books that were nominated for Best Novel. Because while I was reading them, I was just enjoying myself so, so much. Robin Harding's The Drowning Woman is just absolutely brilliant from beginning to end. Shari Lapina's Everyone Here Is Lying, same exact thing. From page one, I was just enjoying myself, thinking, okay, this is just brilliant. It's such brilliant storytelling. I have to admit, I was a little surprised that Lynwood Barclay wasn't nominated this year. He often is. And he'll be nominated for many, many more awards. But again, that sort of talks to the judges and what they're enjoying may not necessarily agree with me. One name I was super happy to see is Sam Weeb, a long, long time fan of his, Sunset in Jericho, is just brilliant. You know, and again, it's different than what Robin and Shari write. But at the same time, so much fun to read. And Iona Wishaw's book, To Track a Traitor, I thought could have been nominated for Best Novel, but it's just in the Howard Engel Award. Again, just great Canadian literature. And not just, you know, in the novel format of fiction, there's some great nonfiction coming out of Canadian writers. There's great short stories. As I mentioned before, two of the nominees for our short story award have also been nominated for Derringers. Well, unfortunately, no novella category this year, so maybe we should address that.
Yeah, unfortunately, we had less than six entries in the novella category. And so we had to defer it to next year, which I'm hoping with more individuals. I think there's a few anthologies that are supposed to be coming out this year, and they tend to have novellas in them, at least one or two, and those usually get entered. So I'm hoping that next year we'll be able to combine this year's. So it's not that we canceled novella, it's that we deferred to next year. So those entries that came in this year are already good to go for next year. And the judges have also, for that category, have stayed on so this is one of the years where the judges will remain the same judges for next year, only because we're deferring the category to next year. So it'll be 2020. It'll be novellas published in 2024, 2023 and 2024 will be awarded in the 2025. Oh my goodness, it's 2025 next year. Wow. Sorry. So it'll be awarded next year in the 2025 season. So that'll be, that'll be interesting. Hopefully we'll have quite a few more novellas to sort of bolster up that category.
Yeah, I hope they come back because I love novellas. And now I'm almost inspired to write one because it's like, oh, I can get nominated.
You have a really good chance. I always find it interesting. I know this is an aside, but I read romance quite a bit, and I find that there's a lot of books within the romance category that I notice that are under the 50,000 mark. So that would run into like sort of a novella category. But I'm surprised that this year either there's not a whole lot in the crime and mystery genre, or they don't know to submit their novel, that we have a novella category, because that could also be it. I'm not sure. I know we push the unpublished and the best crime. Those sort of, you know, tend to be the top tiers when it comes to an awards thing. So I think novella kind of, you know, it's that hidden brother or sister that's been that third child nobody talks about. We have the category.
Yeah. Well, I'll be happy to see it again next year. For me, as I mentioned, this is my busy time. The next month I will be talking to, or try my very, very best to talk to all the shortlist nominees that are members of Crime Writers of Canada. So I'm looking forward to speaking with like Vicky Delaney, Gail Bowen, and Iona Wishaw. I hope they all say yes. And I always enjoy talking to our members, both the new ones. It's so exciting to talk to somebody in the unpublished category or first novel category. It's always fun to talk to somebody who writes short stories. So I'm looking forward to it. And I think on the other end, you can almost, is this relaxing time for you, Ludvika?
Oh God, no. I don't know if there is a relaxing time when it comes to the awards, except maybe July. Right now is the most, this is where it's the culmination of everything. It comes to this, right? So the next couple of weeks, it'll be, the shortlist have gone out. The next couple of weeks for me is going to be contacting all of the winners, because they'll all be receiving a certificate. So we'll be, you know, touching base with them for that, as well as we hope to touch base with their publishers as well to let them know that they've been nominated. We're definitely looking forward to the winners. So I'm getting ready for the media coverage for that, which will be the announcement for that is May 29th, 12 a.m., of course. It'll be featured on our website, as well as we'll probably have a newsletter go out to all the members, and we will have some social media coverage as well once the winners are announced. So it is basically getting everything set into place, ordering the awards. It's crunch time.
All right. So you and I will both be busy for the next month. We'll keep everybody up to date through Crime Writers of Canada's website. as I said, I'll be doing lots and lots of interviews, probably one every few days. So exciting, and I'm looking forward to speaking to everyone.
I look forward to hearing all of them too. I think it's very exciting. And thank you so much, Eric, for everything you do and for doing the interviews with all of our members who've finaled, because it is something that helps to bolster everyone's career, including the genre itself. So I know it takes up a lot of your time, and I know on behalf of myself, Cremers of Canada, and all the participants, the finalists, we appreciate everything you do.
And I have to say the same to you, because people see my face a lot, but there would be not be an awards for Cremers of Canada if it wasn't for you, Ludvika. You do so much hard work, and so much is not seen by everybody, but it wouldn't happen without you. So thank you. Let's have a busy month, and we'll congratulate ourselves in a month's time.
Cheers to that.